this conference is being transmitted in service. I want to remember that all the reports, results, and relevant information and presentations will be published in Spanish and English in our investment portal on www.grupoagri.com. In this same page, you'll find the presentation that we will be following during the conference. For downloading this, please go into the financial information section and then to the report section. We will find a file called Presentation 2T2019. I want to invite you to go to slide number 3, and let me give the word to Jorge Mario Velasquez, President of Argos Group. Thank you, Natalia, and good morning to every single one of you. Thank you for being with us in this conference. We'll be reviewing the results that Grupo Argos and different companies have reached during the second quarter in 2019. Before going into the detailed analysis, we wanted to share with you two reflections that mark both our results as the world that the world is holding. The first reflection has to do with the strategic coherence. As you might see, the numbers that we will be analyzing today are the result of the disciplined strategic execution, not just by Grupo Argos, but also in all our different businesses, and further than just expressing the static and short-term picture, they show a trajectory of growing value and following strategic and strategic defined north. The second reflection has to do with our value generation as a holding company, where explicitly we are creating competencies that are a value lever for our present businesses and those that are under construction. In this occasion, I wanted to speak about the sophistication that this business group has achieved in order to access capital markets, both locally as well as internationally, in agile and efficient manner. This ability that we have created as part of this holding, as a holding, is reflecting the high financial dynamism of our businesses that in the first months of this year has led emissions with placements and operations for more than 5.3 trillion Colombian pesos. This value is relevant if we compare this, for example, with the total emission value for the fixed rent in the Colombian market in that same period, which reached 6.4 trillion Colombian pesos, excluding excess emission. This financial competency is not just a value lever for our businesses, but it's also an engine that vigorizes our primary market, Colombian market. The business dynamism with which we work at Argos Group is a clear proof of the firmness and the commitment that we have with the country and with the integral manner that we carry out our businesses. Our management is translated into following the norms with good governance as ethics with an innegotiable factors in what we do in business-wise. We're completely convinced that the way that we make businesses lead to trust relationships, as we can see in the positive credit ratings given by rating firms, both for Argos Group as well as for all our strategic assets, as you might see in slide number 4. And we keep or improve our risk rating. And this train of thought, I wanted to highlight that the holding level, at a holding level, we receive from Fitch ratings and rating improvement going from AA+ to a AAA for the first time in our history. Following with the consolidation of the results, I wanted to express that we have closed the quarter with an EBITDA of 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos and the semester with 2.1 trillion Colombian pesos. This is a number that's not just growing an 18% in the second quarter, but it's almost the double of the EBITDA generated in the same period of 2014. This means in 5 years, we've been able to double the EBITDA generated by Grupo Argos for our shareholders. This achievement is the fruit of a business portfolio that becomes more robust and complementary, where each one is playing the role that corresponds. It's like this, how in the first quarter, all the businesses made positive contributions to the profitability of the group, despite the different challenges that the different businesses face in their particular markets. Especially, I want to highlight the rigorosity of the cement business that during the year has contributed with 136 billion Colombian pesos to the consolidated EBITDA, showing a growing trend in the last 18 months. As the portfolio strengthening for concessions that generated an EBITDA margin of 56%, and the energy business that with the Tolima operation is strengthening all the lines of our operational results with an EBITDA that's growing 7% in the second quarter. And this improvement in the quarter said that we hope will be a trend that will be replied in the behavior of the year through the positive effects of those announced transactions that we have announced in closure in 2019, and particularly in the first days of the month of August, in which I wanted to mention a couple of things. Speaking about the energy business, during the year, we've done portfolio movements that add 3.1 trillion Colombian pesos, which align with the strategy of balancing the generation matrix and having a larger exposition for the distribution business. It's like this, how through EPSA, we invested 1.7 trillion Colombian pesos in the purchase of distribution assets in Tolima in the first quarter, and the next 2 months, we hope to close this investment of the Thermal Flores Thermal Center in the free trade zone of Celsia for a value of 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos. This operation will reduce the leveraging levels that Celsia has while granting a larger flexibility in order to continue in our growing path. Respecting the concession business, we've been executing an optimization strategy for the leverage structure, placing the income generation asset debt and allowing the holding a larger flexibility in order to proceed with its growth strategy. In this line, I wanted to highlight the recent bond emissions made in Ecuador and Colombia by the Keyport and Opaín concessions, respectively, which add 2.7 trillion Colombian pesos and will positively impact the return rate of the airport assets and belonging to the Odinsa portfolio while improving the debt portfolio of the company and allocate the risk or the debt of this asset. By its side, the efficiency and profitability round traced for the cement business is being complied with rigorosity while making capital bonds for 350 billion Colombian pesos in the last 12 months. This comes both from the operational results as well as from the disinvestments made during this period. After making this brief summary of the most relevant facts that happened in the first 6 months of the year, I want to invite you to look at the financial results, consolidated financial results for Grupo Argos that you'll find on slides 7, 8, and 9. Let's begin with the consolidated results for the group. The second quarter results are a reflection of the executed strategy with a very discipline and seriousness, where the growth of the revenue of EBITDA and net profit of the controller are the product of aware decisions, each one of these taken in each one of the businesses as part of a strategic route that Grupo Argos has defined as a holding. At the end of June 2019, quarter revenues present a 7% growth year after year, placing themselves in 3.9 trillion Colombian pesos with positive contributions from the cement energy business. While the first semester revenue growth is a 9%, reaching 7.6 trillion Colombian pesos. Regarding the EBITDA, this quarter ends with 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos, and the semester ends with 2.1 trillion Colombian pesos, presenting a growth of 18 and 12% respectively. When we normalize the effect of the NIF 16 norms for the rental expense adjustment, the EBITDA growth for the first semester had been of 5% with positive contributions for all the strategic businesses. During this period, I would like to highlight the transformational advancements materialized by the energy business with the operation of the Plan Cinco Caribe assets and the integration of the Tolima assets since the month of June. These two operations that have been recently closed show positive effects in Celse's finances, where in the case of Tolima, the revenue contribution was of 130 billion Colombian pesos and 25 billion Colombian pesos to the EBITDA in its first month of consolidation over the base case that has been forecasted for this transaction. We also need to mention that the totality of the costs and structure and financial costs impacted all the quarter. That asymmetry between the expense that impacts all the quarter and the revenue that is just consolidated for one month will be corrected two times once we unleverage the asset and the totality of the EBITDA comes in. In respect to cement, its largest contributions in revenue-wise and EBITDA-wise are explained by the higher volumes of cement in the United States, which grew 7% in the first semester, and a better behavior of Colombian prices, which increased by 12% through the year. In Odinfa, the lower contributions to the revenue are mainly explained by the refinancing effect of the Quifor debt that during the quarter had an impact of $5.5 million in terms of consolidated revenue, given that this asset is accounted via participation method and for the lower revenues of the construction segment, given the dynamic of the works in the Pacific for those works. As a consequence of these executions for two businesses, Grupo Arcos closed in the second quarter with a net profit of 219 billion Colombian pesos and an accumulated net profit up to June of 443 billion Colombian pesos. In terms of the net profit of the controller, this one closes in a figure that grows 16% in respect with the first semester of last year, reaching 265 billion Colombian pesos. Having reviewed the consolidated results of Grupo Arcos, I want to invite you to proceed onto slide number 10, where we'll get to see separate results. Grupo Arcos revenues for the second quarter were of 96 billion Colombian pesos and 404 billion Colombian pesos accumulated for the first semester. The quarter revenues are broken down 65 billion Colombian pesos as participation method and 31 billion Colombian pesos as the real estate business. During this period, we did not record revenues for financial activities through portfolio movements, different from the first quarter, where we recorded in both periods. The disinvestment of the Edsa stocks that were owned by Grupo Arcos, completing like this the disinvestment strategy for the totality of the ownership of that company and the unification of the energy business through Celse. Diving a little bit more into detail in the participation method revenues, we found a negative variation of 5%, mainly explained by the reduction of the energy business contribution that, as it was previously mentioned, presented a net profit, a lower net profit, explained by a higher indebtedness made for the Tolima asset acquisition. It's also important to note that this is a transitory effect, given that the quarter results, we accounted all the leverage this investment has and only just one benefit, one month of benefits from the asset consolidation. This asset base that Celse consolidates nowadays have the capacity of generating an annual EBITDA of around 1.3 billion Colombian pesos. Expenses and costs present a growth in respect to previous year, given a change in the cycle of the payments that won't affect the annual execution. In terms of the administrative expenses and sales, this increase explained mainly for the increase in expenses and depreciation, some amortizations, and the purchase of top line for about 3 billion Colombian pesos for this period. If we exclude these expenses for the first semester, the expenses would be stable. It is also important to mention that the manageable component of Grupo Argos show a falling trend in the second quarter of 10%, being the sixth quarter where continuously we present a reduction in this line. At this point, I wanted to also highlight our efforts to become a global class holding, and this led to the review of our role, and through that revision, we've done a reorganization of the Grupo Argos organizational structure that will offer the largest flexibility, more focus, and more specialty management-wise, and will allow us to capture savings, annual savings, that are over 5 billion Colombian pesos. Moving on to the EBITDA, this quarter ends in 56 billion Colombian pesos with a 6% reduction, which is explained because of the larger offline amortizations that we have previously mentioned. In terms of the net profit, this was of 34 billion Colombian pesos for the quarter as a consequence of the events that we have previously detailed. I also want to highlight that financial expense is kept in historic minimums, and that keeps showing a decreasing trend, 11% less than the expense registered in the first quarter of 2018 as a result of tight management, causing the petty cash close to 2 billion Colombian pesos. This year, we've done prepayments of short-term debt for 117 billion Colombian pesos. That after June meant a reduction of 6 billion Colombian pesos for financial expenses and 60% in the total debt stock that closed in 1.5 trillion Colombian pesos for June 2019. This reduction in the debt stock obeys to a strategy led by the Treasury Office where the perceived revenues are used to improve the leveraging profile of the holding in the short term in a permanent seek of being more efficient and having the largest flexibility in the capital structure. Being like this, the leverage indicators close in 2.1 times the gross debt over adjusted EBITDA, which offers us the enough flexibility to proceed executing our future vision. At the same time, we continue with a low financial cost of 6.8%, which are comparable with the TES rates, 10-year test rates that are close to 6%. This shows the trust that the capital and banking market has ratified by Fitch Ratings, that, as I previously mentioned, increased our rating from a double A plus to a triple A, being the first time in history where this entity gives us this rating. This rating, as well as the positive results that we've shown in our quarterly reports, fill us with energy and optimism in respect with the strategic route that we've traced, routes that we will keep on executing following the coherence and discipline. Once that we've seen the separate results, let us go into the operational results for each one of our strategic businesses, beginning by the concession business. You might find this information on slide number 14. In the second quarter of this year, and what has run during this third quarter has been relevant for the consolidation of the Audiencia asset platform, with four types of investments that I would like to highlight in detailed manner. The first has to do with the capital structure optimization advancement for Opine that was happening 12th of August, with the signature of an agreement for note emission for $450 million with a due date December 2026 at an interest rate of 4.09%. This emission has an international rating of BBB coming from Fitch Ratings, and it was done through a private placement where 11 of the most sophisticated international investors acquired the totality of the emission. This strategy that we are adapting for the relocation of our debt in each one of our assets seeks to capture value through the improvement of the financial structure of concessions while granting a larger financial flexibility for ODINSA in order to keep on strengthening our concessions portfolio. This operation will allow distributing about $90 million in dividends for the Alpine shareholders, where Grupo Argos and ODINSA will receive around $60 million. Second, I'd like to highlight that ODINSA is doing a solid structuring work around infrastructure projects in front of the national government. And proof of this is the approval of the pre-feasibility by the National Infrastructure Agency, ANI, from a private initiative that wants to improve and broaden the flight field of El Dorado International Airport. With an approximate investment of 700 billion Colombian pesos, we propose to optimize the time of use of both existing runways in the airport, increasing the operational capacity of the current airport, and continue through the improvement of the operations in favor of national competitiveness. Our private initiatives positively advance, consolidating our company as a visionary company, being able to identify opportunities and developing coherent initiatives in order to contribute with the actual and future competitiveness of those countries where we are present. These initiatives are high-impact projects that have been created with a future vision that will offer market solutions with new experiences and services for all users. In respect to Pacifico 2, that, as we've mentioned, is right now under its construction phase, we've advanced in 73%. This is 10% over the initial forecast. This advancement is even more important due to the finalization of the Mulatos Tunnel, that once this work has been ended, will significantly reduce the risk, the construction risk of this project. Finally, before going into the operational and financial results, I'd like to analyze the Fitch rating for the ordinary bonds for ODINSA, given that these are translated into coordinated and disciplined work for destruction of a portfolio of robust and well-balanced concessions. From the comments made by the rating company, I wanted to highlight the comment they make about the strengthening of the improvement of the dividend flow towards ODINSA, allowing funding the capital contributions expected for the upcoming years. Additionally, they also positively mention the advancement around capital structure strengthening for those emissions that we have already mentioned in Opine and Keyboard. Moving on to the operational results that you can see on slide number 16. During second quarter 2019, we had very healthy traffics, both road as well as airport traffics, which grew 5 and 6% respectively. In terms of road traffic, this reached a daily average of 76,000 vehicles with a higher growth in the Dominican Republic concessions, known as ADN and BTA, given to higher flows associated with tourism, which grew 16 and 23% respectively. In respect with the airport traffic, this reached 9.7 million passengers with a growth of 5% year after year, supported by a very well performance in El Dorado Airport that registered a total movement of 8.5 million passengers, growing an 8% in respect to the same period last year. Now, in order to know the results, the financial results of the concession risk business, I want to invite you to move on to slide number 16. Here you can see how revenues have reached 200 billion Colombian pesos, present a reduction of an 8%, which is mainly explained due to the reduction of the patrimonial participation method revenue coming from Keyport, previously explained, and also because of the reduction of the construction activity, given the working capital optimization in the Pacífico Dos road. EBITDA closed quarter in 133 billion Colombian pesos, adding this to the accumulated figure of June of 275 billion Colombian pesos for a 9% growth, mainly explained due to the larger contribution of the Autopista del Café concession. I also want to highlight specifically the EBITDA margin of this business that was located at 66% for the quarter and 69% for the semester, 600 basis points over the registered in the same period,  2018. I want to highlight the Odinsa advancements in terms of leveraging cost, debt cost, that began with bond emissions in 2018 that allowed a cost reduction of 231 basis points, which is around 8.6%. At the same time, that it increased the average life to 0.59 years. After the Keyport cash out, with the support of Argos Group and the relation with banks, Odinsa hopes to reduce its debt cost in 167 basis points at a 4.05% and increase the duration of its debt to 3.4 years, which will allow continuing managing the ambitious expansion plans that we have. Given that the non-consolidated Odinsa results, sorry, now that the Odinsa results are not consolidated, the old plan, I want to invite you now to go over the main advancements that are for old plan that are found in slide number 18. In the second quarter of this year, Opaen closed with a positive operational figures, with a passenger growth of an 8% at a consolidated level that's broken down into a 9% growth for national passengers and a 5% growth for international passengers. Operational revenues for the quarter reached 286 billion Colombian pesos for a 4% growth driven by the regulated revenues that increased in a 21%. Aligned with the positive variation of the airport traffic in the exchange rate and the functioning of the operational zones, EBITDA reached 97 billion Colombian pesos, increasing at 12% year-after-year as product of the good operational management and of the implemented efficiency plan. Of the efficiency plan implemented in the airport. In terms of the net profit, this reached 36 billion Colombian pesos, showing an increase of 17% aligned with the EBITDA growth. Having reviewed the concession business, I want to invite you to move on to the cement business on the next slide. As the market knows, during the last years, our strategy in the cement business has been focalized in profitability. Under that line, in Cementos Argos, we've implemented a program that seeks the constitution of operational efficiencies that has been known as DES. Like this, we've done a financial planning that has been delivering a positive result in the non-strategic asset purge for the organization. Remembering the defined north of this business is important, given that the results show that once again, these are key for the success leverage that the business group has and the strategic discipline as an action axis. As proof of this, today in Argos, we have strengthened the operational and financial capacity, becoming one of the most efficient operations of the Americas, thanks to the strategy is showing consistently solid results, despite the fact that we find a complex competitive dynamic. In the United States, I wanted to highlight that we keep on advancing with the BEST program, with which we obtained savings for this quarter for more than $11 million, which add to this annual goal of $40 million for 2019. The savings support the EBITDA expectations in this region that for this moment is around $215 to $190 million. At the same time, we advanced in the non-strategic asset disinvestments, adding this quarter $27 million, explained by the sale of to a public auction that through the stocks that of course Colombia that AgriFood has, and this investment that we had in Opnia de Colombia. These were two assets that were not strategic for the development of our main activity. These resources has as objective to reduce the leveraging, reaching that goal of reducing the net debt over EBITDA to 3.2 times for mid-2020. At an operational level, the most relevant milestone was with the calcinated clays in Rio Claro being the first initiative, a large-scale initiative in the use of alternative materials that will offer us competitive advantages both in terms of sustainability as well as CAPEX and OPEX per ton, and will increase at the same time the productive capacity of our cement business in the center of the country. Moving on to slide 21, during the quarter, consolidated cement dispatches reached 4.1 million tons, reducing a 2%, while the concrete dispatches reached 2.6 cubic million tons, representing a reduction of 7%. These figures are explained by the different behaviors in the three regions. In Colombia, the volumes slightly dropped due to leadership exercise in the price recovery with a 12% accumulated at this moment of the year. In the United States, strong rainfalls in the central and southern zone have impacted the operations, mainly for the concrete operations in Central America and Caribbean. We see how the Panama and Honduras operations have been affected by a very complicated political climate. Even like this, the quarter revenues reached 2.4 trillion Colombian pesos, growing in 8%, adding to the accumulated results that we had in the first quarter that closed in 4.5 million with an 11% growth year after year as a result of the strategy that has been previously mentioned. Adjusted EBITDA for the second quarter, which is 405 billion Colombian pesos for a 23% growth year after subtracting non-recurring charges for 2018. In terms of the net profit of the quarter, this one reached 55 billion Colombian pesos. That's compared with the registered loss in the same period of last year for 2 billion Colombian pesos. Finally, I wanted to highlight that the efforts for having a world-class operation are being done at all levels and with the highest possible sophistication. Because of this, we're not just achieving a light and efficient operation that in Argo Cement is being led by a very careful petty cash exercise. We're closing the quarter with a billion Colombian, a trillion Colombian pesos in operational cash flow and due to the CAPEX and capital work capital. As I mentioned before, we are advancing the purpose of reducing leverage with capital contributions close to 350 billion Colombian pesos that have been done in the last 12 months. These advancements show that we keep on taking firm steps in order to face the disruptions and challenges that our different markets present. And this is key for us. We need to focus completely on operational and financial efficiency that will allow us to defend our leadership in the market and to gain profitability and taking advantage of the synergies of a high vertical integration platform Now I want to invite you and to go over the results of the energy business found on slides 23 and 27. In 2019, we've seen a transformational year for our energy business. So this year, we've been able to have done transactions designed and executed carefully in the last 2 years. Today, this business counts with a much simpler structure as the unique growth vehicle in Colombia. Through EPSA, with a much more balanced portfolio between generation, transmission, and distribution. The portfolio rotation advancements that we've achieved this year began with a fundamental step after that contributed to the business results since June, followed after the recent agreement of the disinvestment of the free trade zone of Celsia for $420 million, which are proof of the coherence that we follow in our strategy. All these movements have been supported by capital structure strengthening and from Celsia and EPSA, with Celsia as holding has a very low indebtedness and in order to proceed with its unleveraging process. At the same time, EPSA implements the leveraging and strengthens its equity emitting private shares supported by CSN Cali for 450 billion Colombian pesos in order to strengthen the capital structure. Given that the pre-trade zone disinvestment, the pre-trade zone asset disinvestments will happen during the upcoming quarter, we have higher leveraging levels this year that supported the disinvestment of the Tolima assets. This transitory picture will change in the upcoming quarters when we end the disinvestment that we have previously mentioned. After that moment, the special figures will reflect the structural vision that we have for that business, where we are completely focused in an energy asset platform centered mainly in renewable energy and with a higher exposition to the transmission and distribution. We are satisfied with the execution capacity of the energy business that aligned with the same with the other businesses are playing strategic role in part by the holding, reaching growing results, which are also allowing to face the challenges set by the industry and by the different markets where we are at. Now, moving on to the operational results on slide 25, we can see how the quarter presented a reduction of an 8% compared with last year, mainly explained for a low hydro generation in Panama as a consequence of their hydrology, as well as a lower thermal generation in Colombia. But nevertheless, this lower levels of generation, which represent a 5% reduction compared with last year, were compensated positively by higher spot prices that had a variation of 89% year after year in Colombia and 5% in Panama. In terms of the financial results in slide 26, we can see an 11% growth in the consolidated revenues for the quarter, which reached 913 billion Colombian pesos, from which Colombia represented an 83% of the total, growing at 18% per year. The high revenues this year were explained for the better spot prices. As for the operations of the Tolima assets, that, as we mentioned before, contributed with 130 billion Colombian pesos. In respect with the revenue reduction for Central America, as the Central has a very good performance operational-wise and has proven to be a very valuable asset for the electric system in Panama. Today, CSI is working with the Panama government, which has accepted the capitalization in order to lead the investments that we've done during April. in order to restructure a sustainable business model. In terms of EBITDA, this presents an increase of 7% compared with the same quarter last year in order to reach 278 billion Colombian pesos. So Colombia contributed 258 billion Colombian pesos. For the quarter, we find a larger financial expense due as a consequence of the transitory effect of the leveraging, as we mentioned before, as well as a higher provision in the income tax. This effect impacted positively the net revenue of the controller, which presented 16 billion Colombian pesos for the quarter. These are positive results that answer the strategic execution that we followed, where we want to close in 2019 with an energy business turned into an asset platform that's much more solid, balanced, and prepared in order to keep on consolidating itself as the most innovative bid for the Colombian energy market. After knowing this results, I want to invite you to look at the real estate results found on slide 28. As we previously mentioned, the strategy change in this business has implications in the maturity times for each transaction, which generate a certain discontinuity each quarter in the sales volumes. Despite this, in the long term, we are convinced that the sale of great land extensions is the most powerful way to capture the highest value at the lot nuts, both in the short and long term. In today's conference, I wanted to take some minutes and go over the case of Baru. It's a sector that has a high potential that this business group has been developing important actions in order to turn this into a tourism destination, a world-class tourism destination, not just for Colombia, but for all the regions. The first stage that already has all the construction licenses represent 300 growth hectares. In this stage, and it counts with 250 usable hectares, we want to have 2,100 rooms and houses also supported for the environmental protection, mobility, and leisure that will become in the second largest development in the best beach of the Colombian Caribbean. And the second phase is the Cofitel Casablanca Hotel are advancing that we hope to open since in 2021, operated as Sofitel Santa Clara. That's one of the best hotels down in Cartagena in the country. This hotel is being constructed in a 7-hectare lot in the Casablanca project. That includes hotels and apartments in front of the beach. The Cameron is also advancing in its design for licenses in a land lot of 12 hectares. This project has activated a very large interest in the market, which has allowed us to advance in negotiations for 25 additional hectares in two different projects that will consolidate the hotel, the supply in our master plan, and will give us exposition in different segments of the market, investments that will generate tourism, potentiating the value of our assets, of our real estate assets, in the Baru Island. From another side, we keep on seeing a very important growth in the appetite of constructors with their residential projects in Barranquilla. Several projects are in the pipeline right now that we want to sign purchase sales promises in the second semester of this year. It's worth mentioning that these sale purchase promises will be reflected on the financial results in the moment that we sign. Parallelly, I would like to make some comments in respect to sustainability. We want to highlight the role of the private company as a progress in social equality engine. We believe that when we generate value for the company, we're also generating value for our society, which is the base of a sustainability definition. Aligning with the previous quarters for this period, I would like to highlight that within our sustainability strategy, we've agreed and responsible operation goals that seek to transform each one of the capitals that we use for our financial activities, industrial capital, natural capital, social capital, capital, human and intellectual capital, and at the same time mitigate the strategic risks associated with the compliance of the business plan, the reputation and human talent contributing to the construction of our goals and the sustainable goals known as ODS coming from the United Nations. The responsible operation indicators touch upon our three axes, environmental, social, and economic. And we've set goals for 2025 focused on carbon reduction emission reductions. As it can be seen on slide 31. In general, the definition of these goals show our intention of generating a revolution in our businesses, seeking to find growing results for our shareholders and at the same time improve our business tactics in order to become more coherent with the high global standards that we have around sustainability. Before opening the Q&A session, I would like to end by saying that we are very satisfied to present these positive results, results that are a consequence of the strategic vision that we've carefully executed in each one of our businesses as well as in the holding. And not just the numbers of the second quarter, as the upcoming quarters will be the consequence of the strategic, of the strategy and financial rigorosity that we have been applying, which represents a sustainable source of value for our portfolio. With this, I'd like to give the word to the operator in order for us to proceed with the call and to answer a Q&A. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or comment in this moment, please press star and one. If your question has already been answered or you want to remove the question, please press hashtag. The first question comes from Juliana Aguilar from Bank Colombia. Hello, good morning to you all. Thank you for the presentation. I have two questions about Odensa. First question, I'd like to know if for this year you've thought about other optimization strategies for the capital structures we saw in Keyport and Nopain. And second is about Pacifico Dos. It was the largest investment we've seen, as you've mentioned, is 10% over schedule. Are you hoping to deliver all the functional units before October 2020? This is the date that was initially thought of. Thank you. Well, thank you, Juliana. On the first point, I'd like to make a general comment. Today, we don't have any structured operation, but there are assets that maybe will lead to the structural use of its costs or the relocation of those businesses. But if this would be the case, we look at them. But in this moment, there's not a specific one. But not just in the case of our dim-sum, but in the case of Celsia and all the assets that we've created platform for. Obviously, the financial optimization is key for the equity. And not just about the operational efficiency, but about the adequate structuring. This, I want to give the floor to Mauricio for him to answer the second question in respect to Pacificos. Good morning, Juliana, and good morning to all of you. Effectively, we are 10% over the forecast with important milestones, as it was mentioned by Jorge Mario in his initial presentation. The end of the tunnel construction. Right now, there are being revested. This would be ended first quarter next year, and the estimated date is October 2020. And this will include the disbursement of 22%. We don't believe it will end before, and we trust that it won't end after this date either. And the most complex works have been done on time. Perfect. Thank you very much for your answers. Rodrigo Sanchez of Grupo Argos is the second question. Good morning, David and Dr. Rose. Thank you for your presentation. My first question is in relation with Keyport. I wanted to confirm if the resources received by Odensa are $135 million. And are these included in the balance of the second quarter of the company? I'd also like to know, in respect with this cash out, how much of Keyport has been commitment in your estimation, say, more specifically, bearing in mind that the indebtedness coupon will be initially a bit high in respect to the other ones with the same rating. And my second question is in respect to the new Cartagena Airport, I'd like to know what would be the project schedule and what implications if this might have the land seizure of a landlocked where the concession is planned to be developed, because there were some there was media speaking about this. Thank you very much. Very complete and important questions. So let's answer this question between several of us. First, I'll start by giving a context of the Keyport financing. The financial structure with which the asset was acquired was located in Odensa through consolidated project in Colombia. So there's a difference between where the asset and liability of the asset is located, because they have different structural components. That's one thing. From the other side, the structuring cost for this operation is inferior to the cost that the organization was assuming for the financing. So there's a positive leverage, the lower indebtedness cost, but besides that, there's a symmetric allocation of the cash flow generation compared with the liability. And from a holding logic, as this one is extremely valuable, because what this does is not just the natural currency hedging, but also it hedges against the natural risks that we might face. So it's very important for us to bear that in mind. And this explains why do we carry out the operation. I'll also give the word to Pablo Arbelaez for him to explain a little bit more about this. I want to mention that this is done at a lower cost or a similar cost in terms of the country risk. This is better conditions that the country might offer, so we clearly see a difference, for example, in the country emission and the keyboard emission. There's a difference. And that explains the perception of the market for the different countries. So in that risk structure, we can also find intrinsically the profitability that the asset has in its flows, which are extremely positive and good. So this is a bit of context of why the operation, but I wanted to give the floor now to Paulo Rogério, who's with us, and for us to hear more about the details and what the total value, what's the real value, for the quantum balance, what's funding and why, and then how is this happening part of the source. Thank you, Jorge. Thank you, Rodrigo, also for the questions. So just explaining a little bit about what has been mentioned previously by Jorge. The figures of $135 million that Audiencia will be receiving, from which it has already received $27 million. Because of this, from the 27, we can confirm that there are indulgences, the figures that we already know of. We still need to access that difference between 135 and 20 and 27 million. That's going to be, that has not yet been reflected in the Audiencia balance, which you know that Audiencia is not consolidating in Quito right now. There's a situation with our business partners, and because of this, the keyboard figures are reflected in our financial results through the participation methods. We have the schedule that we anticipate will allow us to bring that difference that has not yet been reflected, and we will be seeing at the end of this year. That's the idea, and we could fully reflect the benefits of that cash out that would be in Ecuador. Going further with those questions, in terms of the dividend, I wanted to say that after the emission, the average dividend in this asset will keep on delivering, and it will be $45 or $50 million. Obviously, before the emission, this is a larger dividend. The figure, I don't have it exactly right now, but I can tell you the present. I can tell you the present value, because basically what we did here. As you asked, we took dividends from previous years, and remember, let's remember that this concession goes to 2041, and clearly the discount rate which we discount this dividends in order to value the keyboard asset is higher than the rate that we had initially. So that makes the net present value of the dividends obviously lower than the previous dividends, but if we discount it to that rate, that this will be higher than what we had before. So speaking strictly from a generation point of view, this transaction reduced the dividend in absolute value. And in terms of present value, it increased the value. And finally, the rate we need to bear in mind, we need to have in context the rate in the moment that it was issued. And this one thing was the prices of March this year, nothing is the prices this year and in this moment. And we need to bear in mind that this keyboard emission is the first emission in 20 years of a corporation in the Ecuador Republic. Up to March this year, the only stocks were the sovereign bonds of Ecuador. And when people came out, this led to this reaction. So it was necessary to pay a premium money over this sovereign bond of Ecuador, more specifically because of the liquidity. Because the liquidity of the sovereign bonds are higher than the types of stocks. But afterwards, the transaction came out in market terms. Having said that, to rate them this moment and the amount, all the sponsors and the emitter gave us ease. Now, in terms of leveraging, there's a higher room for leveraging. And this is something that's been constantly being evaluated. It might come at a lower rate. And then the ponderated, the weighted value of the asset will be lower. Thank you. I would also say that these are higher than 10 years, and there's also a differential in the totality of the BPMs, which is very complementary. 10 years, and the concession goes to 2041. Let me give the word to Mauricio for him to talk about the Cartagena Airport and for him to give us a context of the reality, and then we can talk into the questions of the land plots, making an observation that the land feature that has been spoken of is not in the totality of the land lot. It's just a marginal part. It's just a small piece that touches a part of our land lot. But let me give you a word to Mauricio so he can give us a bit more context on how the project is advancing and the specific point of the land. And the new Cartagena Airport project, as for you to remember, is a project based in the increase of passenger flow of the city in the last 5 years. In the last 5 years, the traffic growth, national and internationally, is presenting 22% and 22% growth. And the projections show that there will be a two-digit growth for the upcoming years, both for national and international passengers at one of the Sudan City. According to the traffic provisions, and the aeronautical companies are a bit more optimistic, they believe that in a period of 4 years, that airport should be around 9 million passengers, being today a bit under 6 million. Those figures are being confirmed year after year. And these figures, the annual figures are higher than the quarter figures. And what we know within the private initiatives, we have a feasibility map, and we have thought for January next year. And four things need to happen for this to happen. First, an advisor contracted by ANI should give a positive concept for the project. This is being worked on in about 45 days, and 45 days we'll have the results. There also needs to be previous consultations with the communities and supported by the Ministry of Interior, and this has already been done. Third, there should be a project support. This is happening right now in Cartagena. And the fourth is that with this event, we need to have CAPEX, all OPEX, blueprints, concessions. Everything that includes this phase three project needs to be approved by the planning office and by the Ministry of Finance. Once this is covered, we should be starting in the final stage in January, February, and that's when the evaluation phase is done. And then this contract can become a concession contract. Our expectations is that if everything works out smoothly, we should be having a concession contract next year, mid-year. Now, speaking about land issues and the terrains, the airport needs about 650 hectares in order to host the air terminal and the first runway, with the concession for a second runway. The land box that has legal problems are marginal. they don't commit, nor the original design that the airport has. They don't jeopardize the operation of the airport. So, yes, they don't jeopardize the construction of the airport. It's just a marginal piece of the land. Second, and it's probably the most important, in the infrastructure projects, both private and public, we do this, the projects are granted over nation's land, so we haven't purchased any of this terrain. We need to be adjusted during the concession contract in order to be the managers of the land lots. If this is granted by the nation, who is the final purchaser of the project? So it's that legal process that has two instances, and they're just in the middle of the first one. If the last seizure is supplied, this will be of the government, and the government will be the owner of the land lot, and then there wouldn't be any problem. The second option is that during this process, and the land lot is discarded because there's not enough proof, and then the project is done as normally. So as a conclusion, this situation won't delay the execution of the project. Okay, thank you for your answer. Yeah, you're welcome, Rodrigo. And second question comes from Andres Soto. Good morning, thank you for your presentation. In respect to the information that appeared in June, possible merger with hard rock and materials, what's the role of the cement business and long-term strategy of Grupo Argos? When you analyze the transformation of Grupo Argos in the last year, it's a clear focus in regulated assets, roads, airports, even within the energy business, there's a stronger focus in businesses such as transmission and distributions. I'd like to understand if the strategic vision in order to keep the control of a company such as Cementos Argos, or on the contrary, you'll be open to use of this asset in order to finance other regulated assets. Hello, Andres, thank you for your question. Let me start by the end. For the Argos Group strategy, the cement business is fundamental. The cement business is clearly a small business. But it comes to different behaviors in different regions. And this obeys into competitive dynamics in the different regions of the state. So Grupo Argos understands how cyclical this business is, understands it, celebrates it, and manages it at the same time. Because fundamental part of this strategy for this holding is the complementary and the flows and typology of the businesses. So in both businesses that we are doing with the synergies and concessions, we're going to more controlled assets with a higher predictability and with less variability. And there's a higher complementary in the distribution generation in order to maximize the energy level that we can give to contracts in order to increase the investment. So obviously, the strategy complies with that definition that you are mentioning. And so the business complements itself in a very powerful business, actually, some of businesses. In the market balance, in terms of currencies, in terms of dynamics, in terms of developed markets, but all of them with very important needs of increasing their consumption per capita for cement in housing or infrastructure and development, including the United States. So these require very important investments in the reconstruction, and modernization of their infrastructure. So I start by here. For a group of others, it's a strategic business, it's a fundamental business. It's a business where we believe that we have developed a very powerful and irreplicable platform, and that's in balance. And today, use in its operation and costs, so we have been developing the last 3 or 4 years. Besides that, we invented from an innovation process in order to adapt itself and to the challenges that markets have. So I want to say that without no doubt, it's a business that has a different dynamic from ours, but that extraordinarily complements the portfolio and the diversity of our group of our office as a holding. And what this do at the end is to reform and capital and human resources into value, but not necessarily all the revenues have to be on the same strategic place. So this is more or less our vision. Under that vision, obviously, the processes that we defined previously, it's in the disinvestment of non-strategic assets, acquiring certain other assets, combining certain other assets, these are operations that will maximize our value and our flexibility. But the answer is, it's a new business for us, it's strategic, it's a long-term business. Okay, thank you, everybody. Perfect. Next question will be from the last after Italy.
Good morning. I have two questions. First, and then both of them are focused on the energy business. First question is if you could give us the expected return that you would have for the Tolima investment, given that we're making the calculations with the Zona Franca Cerca disinvestment. This won't be more than a 4% for the investment that we've done since 2017. So we wanted to see what was the vision that you have, what could we expect from Tolima. And the second question is more about Baru. What types of investments are you expecting for developing this project now that you are in urbanism developers. But I wanted to say that the disciplined investment is the model that we have followed. And in Tolima, this is the combination of Tolima and the business investment of the free trade zone. It's part of the energy business, and this is something positive and important in respect with the total invested capital, in respect with the internal return rate for the free trade zone. I'll ask Alejandro, who's our financial guy, and he could look at the case, but as we've heard, as the market, the internal return rate for the free trade zone investment, at once we bear in mind all the initial contributions, but besides the dividend and distribution is over a 16%, around a 16%. So the financial team could look at this in detail, and granted dividends, contributions, and we could make the calculation more exactly, but we can calculate the internal return rate for that case. And as we said before, the standalone model in order to see the return of the invested capital that as a standalone asset increases the generation matrix, which has a very symbolic important effect. And that increases the exposition of the energy business. It reduces the volatility of the asset that we have in the free trade zone. And the business and the contracting at long-term level that we have for the energy business can increase, and this could be just a marginal value in the integrality. So the asset change strategically produces a positive effect in the composition of the revenue sources for the energy business. We could go into the details of this later on. Yeah, I could complement what his contribution. When you look at the case of Tolima, when we start looking at the business, the expected EBITDA in Tolima was close to 120 billion Colombian pesos. Under what we are seeing right now in terms of efficiencies, the expected EBITDA that actually Camilo's team has been expressing could be close to 200 billion Colombian pesos. We could be speaking about 85 billion Colombian pesos. This gives us expected returns close to 16%. This is not just over the standalone, but there's a specific point on the acquisition business modeling, is the capacity of synergies that we can capture and to make sure that we have that know-how and that geographic closeness with EPSA. So part of the value generation is not just of today's value, but also the synergies that we can capture through efficiencies. In the case of the free trade zone, essential free trade zone, when you look at the presented values, in that information delivered last week, the expected return of this investment would be around 15%. Did you publish that data for the holding? Yeah, HR, so we could publish any of those. There's no inconvenience with this. And if you want with the financial team, we could we can analyze this. Which CCI is the vehicle that makes this disclosure? Yeah, but with this system, we could go over that, definitely. Okay, perfect. Now, let me give you a word to Maracara. Hello, Joanna. I just wanted to ask you, speaking about the investments that we'll have to do in urbanization in Baru, right? And not those on the pipeline. Yeah, yours. Yours investments. That's what coming from the parties. Perfect. What we've estimated is it close to 60,000 pesos per square meter of a useful area. And obviously, we'll match these expenses with the sales that we have been doing. So the cash flow will be positive. We already had a sale with the camera last year, and we started the Cana Blanca business, and those businesses are over 80 billion Colombian pesos. So our investment, urbanism-wise, will be a small fraction of what we'll be receiving as a cash flow. Okay, thank you. There's no more questions for the moment. I'd like to give the floor to Jorge Mario Velasquez. Okay, so thank you. Thank you all. Thank you all for being with us. And so we are more than open to answer any other questions that you might have. Any doubts that might arise in the future, then we will be here to answer. We could ask them via Natalia, and all our team is more than open to answer your questions. Thank you and have a nice day. Thank you for participating in our conference. This is the end of the program, and you could disconnect now. Thank you. Have a nice day.